I have been enjoying ourselves immensely thus far. Your brethren at Jersey City sent you their love. Also, they sent along with that love a scriptural admonition to you that is found in Psalms 84 and verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The theme text that we are using for our springboard with you this afternoon is taken from Proverbs, the 24th chapter and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. There is much food for thought in this text respecting the part falling and failures play in our daily walk along this narrow way. Failings are very often prerequisites to eventual success. The real challenge is to learn from our failures and from our mistakes, so that with that knowledge that we have learnt, we will have a stepping stone towards future successes and minimize as well similar failures as we continue to be tested, to be developed, and to be perfected as new creatures. This point of learning from failure is well illustrated in the life of a well-known inventor. Thomas Edison, in his long search for a filament to power an incandescent bulb, tested literally thousands of materials. After many, many failures, he reached his first success in 1879 using a charred cotton thread that burnt for only 40 hours. But Edison wanted more than this. He wanted something that would burn for at least 1,000 hours. After still more repeated failures and a search that would take him throughout the whole world, he settled on a type of tropical bamboo. This was the standard filament that would be used for several years until production and customer problems led to a further development of the tungsten filament, which is still used in our current-day light bulb. By way of passing, Mr. Edison's definition of a failure was, show me a thoroughly satisfied man, and I will show you a failure. Yes, there is a great deal of wisdom in his words. The Christian is to be thoroughly contented in his circumstances, but never satisfied with his progress or his development. Also, Mr. Edison pointed out that genius is 1% inspiration and the other remaining portion is 99% perspiration. And the same, we can say, brethren, would be in the acquiring of success. There was yet one other great man of our country who would surely be considered as a success in our thoughts. And I would like to read to you Lincoln's Road to the White House. We are told that he failed in business in 1831, defeated for the legislature in 1832, second failure in business in 1833, suffers a nervous breakdown in 1836, defeated for Speaker in 1838, defeated for Elector in 1840, defeated for Congress in 1843, defeated for Congress again in 1848, defeated for Senate in 1855, defeated for Vice President in 1856, defeated for the Senate in 1858, elected President of the United States in 1860. Yes, brethren, we have before us an example of a man of perseverance. And certainly we can agree that in his perseverance and in learning from his many failures and the mistakes that he made, that he used them to go on to an ultimate success. And surely, brethren, we too, as we may fall seven times, must rise up again. It has been well said that the failure is not in the failure itself, but it is in the mind and in the attitude of the one who has experienced it. No man ever fails until he fails on the inside. It is only in the giving up that failure can attach its tag to us. Both Edison and Lincoln proved the principle in their lives that our opening text does teach to us. Failure was not a word that they recognized or used in their vocabulary. Their lives, as well as the lives of the many heroes in the Bible and throughout history, can be summed up in these words. Success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles which he has overcome while trying to succeed. Yes, brethren, failure is, in a sense, the highway to success for most of us, inasmuch as every discovery of what is false leads us to seek earnestly after that which is true, and every fresh experience points out some form of error which we will the more carefully avoid in the future. There is a wise saying that only he is exempt from failures who makes no effort. There is a little prayer that well brings out what our attitude ought to be at such times when we find ourselves failing or falling short. Dear God, the plans I tried to carry through have failed. I will not sorrow. I'll pause a little while, dear Lord, and try again tomorrow. Yes, brethren, the just man may fall seven times, but he rises up again. Satan may try to use our failures to make us doubt our ability to attain to the high standard which is set before us as Christians. While reading through an engineering magazine recently, I extracted a paragraph that I believe well illustrates what our attitude ought to be at such times that we find ourselves falling short. It said, "Many successful engineers accept failure without nagging doubt about their capabilities. They know something about the role of failure in the design process. They accept the reality of failure as one of the two possible outcomes of any passing or failing test, and realize that failure is often the means by which they will eventually attain success." The Lord does not look upon the success of our final outcome according to the flesh as much as he looks upon our heart's desire and our earnest endeavor to overcome our trials and our difficulties. On page 5459 of the reprints, under the subheading that we have used for our title, Failures as Stepping Stones, it says, "Even in those experiences where we have suffered absolute failure, There may be, through the humility and pain of defeat, a strengthening of our character, a firm determination for greater watchfulness in that direction, and a more fervent prayer for the Lord's sustaining grace, the need of which has been more deeply impressed upon our hearts. Thus, even our failures may become the stepping stones by which we rise towards God and heaven. Yes, brethren, as is the case so often, God may use our failures as his special tool for carving out some of the finest outlines in our characters as he seeks to transform us into the likeness of his dear Son. Although we should never look to fail, we must accept that while we are in the flesh, we will often do so. The Apostle Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And we should thankfully look, brethren, to our Father for the gracious provision that he has provided for us when we do fall short before him. For he has given us the covering robe of Jesus' righteousness. But let us never doubt that overcoming can never be ours. Let us keep in mind always those reassuring words that are found in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." In verse 12, Paul states that he knew how to be abased, and he also said that he knew how to abound. The secret of his stability of mind and purpose was that he had learnt in whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content. We mentioned before that success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life, as by the obstacles which he has overcome while trying to succeed. This is done by us, brethren, as new creatures, as Paul's example shows us, by never forgetting our goal, of always having the proper attitude of submission to our Heavenly Father's will, along with a large and strong determination and a continual perseverance in reaching that goal. These characteristics, together with the Lord's sustaining grace and help, will absolutely lead us to ultimate victory. Our greatest accomplishments consist not in never failing, but in rising up every time that we do fail with a renewed determination to press onward, come what may. If there is anything that we can say that is good about Satan, it can be said that he has persistency and much determination. Let us look briefly at some examples of failures in the Scriptures. In Genesis, the 12th and the 13th chapter, we read of Abraham commencing his journey towards Canaan. During his trek, he encountered conditions of famine in the land that he was to pass through. His first mistake or failure at that point was not to seek God's counsel and guidance. He forgot God's word, which was that it would be the Lord that would lead him unto the land that I will show thee. His second mistake or failure was to make a detour down into Egypt, relying upon his own human judgment of the situation at hand, rather than placing his full faith in the one who had called him and had promised to be with him and to direct him. After some troubled times in that sojourn in Egypt, we read in Genesis, the 13th chapter, in verses 3 and 4, that he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. From a surface glance, we might think that Abram's failure to obey God was a total loss. We find that he had made no progress at all during that detour. He has now returned to the very same point at which he had been prior to heading down into Egypt. Let us note, however, that at his return to his departure point, he now calls upon the name of the Lord. We are not told what he said to the Lord, but we can imagine that he did implore the Lord for forgiveness, and that he asked the Lord now for direction, that he might continue his journey, now trusting more fully in the Lord's guidance and care. His self-confidence had led to failure, but the experience, we think, was a stepping stone for him. It made him realize his own insufficiency and his great need to turn to his God for help and for guidance. Abram learned a valuable lesson in trust and faith through his failure experience. And thus, brethren, we need to realize, each time we fail or fall down, to carefully analyze the situation and to learn why it was so and how we can correct our mistake. Thus, our failure would be but an opportunity to begin again, more intelligently, more humbly, and perhaps more faithfully. Let us, by contrast now, look at the experience in the life of Elijah that was triumphantly successful, only to have another experience that would follow that would be one of failure and discouragement to him. In the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, we find Elijah has just experienced a tremendous victory over the priesthood of Baal on Mount Carmel. He also had bravely stood up to King Ahab. He had proven Baal to be powerless. He had slain all of Baal's prophets that had been there at Mount Carmel. And then, in answer to his prayers, God consumed Elijah's sacrifice with fire that came down from heaven, and then opened up the windows of heaven onto the dry and thirsty land that had been without rain for 3.5 years, and gave it its splendid nourishment. Let us now turn to the first four verses of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. There we read, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Elijah, who had just a short while before basked in the glory of victory for his God, now runs and hides from Jezebel and weakly asks to die. Elijah's success on Mount Carmel should have made it easier at this crisis in his life, but it did not. Elijah succumbed to fear, and failure resulted. Failure can become an unbearable weight, or it can give us wings to fly. Unfortunately, Elijah, in this case, chose the former. He had failed on the inside in his own heart. He had forgotten so quickly the great things that God had done through him. He had let those grand words, which had been so powerful in the motivation of his stand before all obstacles, those beautiful words that he said so many times, "As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand." Alone, without seeking the Lord, he failed. Our God and Elijah is so very gracious to us. When Elijah, in this case, did not come to him, he sent an angel down to encourage him, to strengthen him, to feed him, so that he was able to journey on for 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of it. And brethren, as we look to some of our experiences, can we not say it has also been so with us? When we are depressed by our failures at times, the Lord sends his messengers to us. They may be providential experiences, or perhaps some brother or sister, to raise us up in our dejected spirits and to direct us back to the Lord and to his promises. Thus, even in this failure, Elijah must have learned humility, as well as by his moment-and-moment need and his dependence upon his God for courage and for strength. Let us, dear brethren, likewise use our failures in a profitable way as stepping stones in our climb upwards, in our endeavors to serve our Lord, and in our journey towards our heavenly Cana. Let us continue to remember the importance that faith plays in our lives, the need of confidence in the Lord, for it is this that will energize us and strengthen us to the end of our journey. Let us embrace wholeheartedly the words of Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When we fall, let us reach out with the hand of faith, and let us be assured that the Lord will take that hand, that he will lift us up, and then he will urge us on towards our goal. Before God's footstool to confess, a poor soul knelt and bowed his head. "I failed," he cried. The master said, "Thou didst thy best. This is success." Let us praise God for his love and for his mercy. A final thought on failure is this, that when we see our brother or our sister fail or fall, Let us remember the words of the poet. Judge not the workings of the brain and of the heart we cannot see. What looks to our dim eye a stain in God's pure light may only be a scar brought from some well-worn field where we would only faint and yield. The look, the ear, that frets our sight may be a token that below that soul has closed in deadly fight with some internal fiery foe, whose glance would scorch our smiling grace and cast us shuddering on our face. The fall we dare to despise may be the angel's slackening hand had suffered it, that he may rise and take a firmer, truer stand, or trusting less to earthly things, may henceforth learn to use his wings. Let's judge none loss, but wait and see, with hopeful pity, not disdain. The depth of the abyss may be the measure of the height of pain and love and glory that may raise this soul to God in after days. Yes, brethren, let us press on. Let us look to the Lord in our many fallings and failures, knowing that he understands us and even expects us. And let us reach out with our hand of faith and let him direct the issue. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Al, for those very helpful thoughts on coping with failures.
Our loving and merciful Father, we humbly bow in thy presence again, thanking thee, dear Father, for thy love. We thank thee for thy patience with us, and we ask, Father, much of thy Spirit, that we may discern thy will for each of us, that we may, in our feeble endeavors to serve thee and to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Indeed, that our endeavors, our attempts, may be to the best of our ability to bless thee, to praise thee, to glorify thy name. Bless us, Father, as we seek to do what is right and what is pleasing to thee. And now, Father, we pray that thou would further bless us in our fellowship. Bless the temporal things that will be provided, that in the strength of these things, Father, we may serve thee more acceptably. We thank thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.